Welcome, everybody, to the wrestling show. I'm Kev Manning from the Lingus Mafia podcast. Everything is at, obviously, Lingus Mafia, along with the number one predictor and source for your insider news. That's Mr. Billy Body.
Yo.
Along with Austin Body.
Hi.
So we're going to go over everything from Royal Rumble into Raw. No real sense to go into SmackDown. Plus, I haven't watched SmackDown yet either. So, the pay-per-view happens.
I don't think you watched the end of it, did you?
What's
you
that?
Came here on, talking to Austin, I think he came to me on Sunday and started watching it. And then we realized that it wasn't a normal day, that he needed to go to bed in time to wake up for the Rumble.
Would you guys even think about the Rumble, how it went? I mean, we could talk about that as a whole. I don't really have notes for it. I figured we'd just go through it, kind of, about what happened and what went on.
Well, I mean, we did a bonus show beforehand.
Yeah.
And Austin ended up sweeping the betting picks on there.
I said Edge would win.
Including Edge, yeah.
See, that's crazy, because originally your dad said it would be Brian, and then changed to last second, right? It was that Seth Rollins would go through. And what's funny is I got Brian in my pool. So I was like, come on, let it still be fucking Brian.
No, I don't think it was Brian. So I am going to speak about this week, because loads of people are giving me shit on Twitter to the point where I'm just thinking, I'm going to fucking delete this. Like, it's really pissing me off.
But
like,
I mean, you can't expect to be. I mean, like, I was going to write back on the podcast on a poll Twitter, tweets on a poll, because someone said, didn't you say that Brian was going to win? And I almost wrote back in quotes, things changed, Dave Meltzer. Because, I mean, fucking, it is going, things do happen.
But I also said Drew was going to win. I also said Bianca Belair was going to win, who was a much bigger underdog than Daniel Bryan was, because Daniel Bryan was a clear favorite by the time the Royal Rumble started. And what I said was that Bryan is facing Roman. So I'm going to go through, I'm not going to give it to Russo or my Patreon. I'm going to go through like what I was told what happened and what was going to happen and what happened, because Seth Rollins doesn't go from the 20-1 underdog to the clear betting favorite on Sunday out of nowhere. And do you want to just do this now, or do you want to get to the Royal, or do you want to get to the Royal Rumble?
Nah, fuck it. It doesn't matter what order we're in.
All right. So Bianca Belair has been winning for a long time. Like, they did the documentary on it and everything. And me and Austin have been watching the TV for the past few weeks, and they've made it really obvious that she's going to be winning, because she did the whole eating disorder story and everything like that. And they've been showcasing it on TV. Sometimes that can mean, and I said to Austin on the last podcast, that can mean that they're setting her up for Bayley possibly to be eliminated from it. I can see a situation where Bayley is eliminated during a match, but no one sees, and she manages to come back, or she hides under the ring or
Austin
some shit.
Style.
Yeah, or whatever, or maybe different. Like, they think she's out, but she hides under the ring and no one remembers, and she comes back and screws Bianca, and then they have to have a match or whatever. Yeah, something like that. But really, I didn't think that was possible. I thought that was the only way that Bianca didn't win. But Bianca was the one I was 100% concrete behind on every single show. But you know what? These fucking dorks, they won't say that. They won't go ahead with that. The men's one can change. There's two titles for the men, and there's two titles for the women. So flip-flopping now, since that came back, has been a lot more common. Last year, you know, I didn't even know, Austin, who called you on your birthday?
Director.
Right. Now, I can set that up easy, because I knew the guy, known the guy for 8-9 years now, right? It's not an issue for me to sort that out. But when I was speaking to him on the weekend that he was winning the Royal Rumble, on Saturday, I couldn't find out if he was winning the Royal Rumble. In fact, do you remember the FaceTime call with him last year?
Yes, I do.
And we said, who's winning the Rumble? And he said to us, because I'm not sure, because he's not going to just tell you, but he doesn't tell you because Austin's there. He goes, but don't be putting any bets on me. Right?
Well, I remember too. Yeah, me and you were talking about that, and you didn't know until, I mean, it was in the show that it was finally, like you said, I think he's going to win. Like, he didn't know until it was time.
No, he didn't know till like the pre-show was on. And the thing is that this year things changed even quicker. So here's a key statistic. When the show starts, the favorite, the betting favorite for the Royal Rumble has won every single year since betting began. Every single year, 100%. Beginning with John Cena and then Batista, even though there were loads of people betting on Daniel Bryan. And Daniel Bryan went from, I believe, like 8-1 or something to close to being the favorite. Mm-hmm. Then what you saw when Batista's odds moved, because obviously if someone's a significant favorite like Batista was, and there's loads of money like being like fan money going on Daniel Bryan, then you have to shift the odds of the favorite. So for example, you can't have somebody as a massive, massive favorite and then have a second guy as a massive, massive favorite because it's not fair to the betting market. The bookies are then protecting themselves every single way, right? They don't do that. They have to close the odds down. So once Batista got better odds because money was coming out on Daniel Bryan, then a whole ton of other money came on Batista because the writers and the insiders thought, oh my God, we're being given a golden opportunity to bet again at these odds that we already got earlier on in the week. So they hammered Batista again. I remember watching it and I was at Euro Disney at the time, wondering what the fuck was going on. And Batista moved from, he never moved off favorite, but his odds got better. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
He was like 1-3. So you had to put 300 to win 100. Then it moved to even. So you could put 300 to win 300 again, with Bryan moving from 8-1 to 6-4. So Bryan's price was you needed to bet 100 to win 150. So 250 altogether. So he never got to favorite, but he did start closing in on Batista, and Batista moved from 1-3 to evens. So you could like then hammer Batista again if you knew he was going to win. The year after that was Roman Reigns from the very beginning. Everybody knew he was winning from WrestleMania 30-31. They knew he was going to win. 2016, the Triple H thing, we found out about that in December. He was 16-1 when the list came out. He ended up closing as a 1-7 favorite. So you had to put 700 on to win 100. 2017, the late move on Orton. Orton wasn't even in the market in the top five when that came about, because the original person that was going to win it was Jericho. And then Jericho's match was switched to Goldberg. So people automatically put in Goldberg as the favorite. And then it ended up being Randy Orton. And then through the week, more and more money was coming in on Orton. 2018, always Nakamura. Nakamura opened as favorite and he ended up winning. And 2019, same story. Rollins opened as favorite, still won. They didn't change it. And 2020, Roman was winning until 1 hour before the show. They changed it to Drew. And they changed Shayna Baszler to Charlotte. Otherwise, the women's rumble, same story. Becky was the favorite and Oscar was the favorite as well. So they didn't change any of that stuff at all. Moving on to what happened this year, I didn't even know Seth Rollins was in the Royal Rumble. So Bianca Belair was a favorite. She became a stronger favorite on the day. Daniel Bryan was the second favorite behind Keith Lee. This is like a few weeks ago. Then Bryan moved into favorite. Then when Edge was announced, Edge then became the joint favorite with Daniel Bryan. That is because, I am told, Edge was winning the Royal Rumble. As of the middle of the week, they decided to go the long story with Daniel Bryan and didn't want to like overload Edge's appearances. So this gets changed back, Cav, mm-hmm. to Daniel Bryan winning when Edge speaks to them about it and says he feels absolutely fine. He can 100% go. So that's when they come up with the, okay, so you'll do the journey thing instead. So we'll put you over by putting you in for a long time. But originally that was going to be from number two, but it was changed to number one on the day. I have absolutely no idea why that was. Originally he was going to be at number two.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want any more number one winners because it's too cliche and it's been done so many times. Mm-hmm. So they thought they would have a number two winning. So Edge was winning as number two as of Saturday, but he said to them that he feels like, you know, fine, and that he should go, he should be switched back to Bryan, etc. So at some point during the day, there was a flip flop, and we saw a flip flop of the odds. On Sunday, Vince McMahon decides that he, out of the blue, after everything that they've like built towards, he's just going to go with Rollins. He comes up with this story about how parenthood has changed me and everything, and he feels like they can turn him face with the whole dad thing. So this is what I'm told, why he's the favorite, when I try and get the explanation, and they go, oh, he's going to do the dad thing. So I'm watching the Rumble, and he doesn't come out to the babyface music. He comes out to Jesus. The Messiah, the Messiah shit anyway, and I'm worried about it, right? Yeah. And then he goes out, but his elimination looks weird anyway. So then I contact Source next day and go, what happened there? And other guys are texting me, go, what the fuck happened? What the fuck happened as well? Like, these pieces of shit haven't won thousands for years. but anyway, it's all about what you do.
What have you done today for me lately?
I mean, even on the show, we made profit. We had like Austin's Bianca Belair's bet, my Bianca Belair bet.
What did he put down and what did he win?
Yeah, and then we had like parlays on every match on the entire show. He didn't win that much because he's on limits. So he didn't win it. He needs new accounts from like grandparents or something. So I find out what happens. I said, well, what happened with Rollins? And he went, oh, he fell out. Like he lost his grip and he fell out. And I said, but that's weird because Orton was there. And it was like, explained to me. It was like, yeah, because Rollins was supposed to hold on and do the Michaels thing on one foot. Edge would have thought he was out. Turn around, boom, RKO. Reverse Orton throwing him out, and Orton gets thrown out. Edge thinks he's won, and Rollins throws him out. So that was what was supposed to happen. And I say, like, so, but
that's the exact same as the Shawn Michaels thing.
Yeah, from 95. So I say, like, well, you know what? How is he? How is he like coming out as a babyface? So I said, that's not a babyface thing to do. He can't face Rollins, Roman as a heel. And so they said to me, oh, well, they figured that it was too hard to explain that he's too hard to explain that in terms of Roman and Rollins thinking it was too difficult to explain the fact that all of a sudden he would just completely change character due to being a parent. They said they didn't actually want to do that and didn't think that made any sense. So they felt it was a better idea for him to be a heel and win it, and then reunite with Roman on TV and have Paul convincing him to go for the Raw belt, etc., and to basically do a story that we thought was better off with Lesnar, but instead you would have Roman being the antagonist, who was basically trying to manipulate Rollins into it, and then he would turn babyface by making his decision, which was simply to pick Roman. And that would be the more simplistic turn. Another way you could have done it, which is just my opinion, which is not what they were going to do, was just have Roman just obliterate Seth, and that turns him anyway, which I think can still come after when you did it their way, which was basically just to have Seth go over there and have Roman going, yeah, you should go for Drew. We can run the business again together, whatever. I don't know where this leaves. This would have left Daniel Bryan in this whole situation. I assume that he would have just, that Vince just decided that they weren't doing that anymore on Sunday. But yeah, so the thing is, what happened with that is the betting lines cannot be wrong. There's no way that they can be wrong, because there's no way they can get moved without significant amount of money.
So Rollins is supposed to win this, and they fucked up, and on the fly, they just let Edge win.
Well, it's not the fly, is it? He's out.
Yeah, but I mean, so, like, they have to decide. I mean, after he falls out, I guess they just continue on and go, well, I guess fucking Edge wins this. But what if, I mean, God forbid it's fucking Isaac Yankem in there or something as one of those final people. You know how that always goes.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not. It's the case of, like, you know, Edge is in there, and they got real lucky with it, because they already had the part of the finish that you saw was already planned. So you could only, if it was going to be a case of Edge thought he'd won. See, I thought if Rollins is going to be babyface, you could have turned him on the spot. It makes more sense to me for or Edge to turn round, get RKO'd, right?
Mm-hmm.
Edge to then get thrown out, and Rollins is still in, and he eliminates Orton. That would make more sense.
Yeah.
So maybe even they called that shit on the fly. I have no idea, because we knew that Edge was going to be facing Drew anyway.
So that's the way it's going to go. It's going to be Edge and Drew. It's not going to be. Yeah. So we're going to have a good guy.
I think so, because that was the plan from last year. Because Edge and Orton is supposed to be blown off by now. They're supposed to have three matches. Orton's never supposed to win the belt. And Drew was supposed to go an entire year with the title and face Edge. Like, I knew that a year ago.
So do you think it's going to be, as the teaser for Fastlane, Roman and Jay versus Edge and Christian?
That would be good.
I have no idea. Like, what do you want to see?
That match right there.
Yeah, but what do you want to see at Mania?
I actually think
Roman, come closer, because you're sitting miles away and no one gives can hear you.
I actually think Edge and Roman would be better, because it's heel versus good guy.
I do too.
And who do you think then Drew will face?
Sheamus.
Fiend?
I wouldn't be surprised now to see Edge against Roman after all, because like you've done that you haven't put Rollins in a position to turn. You've obviously gone cold on Daniel Bryan, so you could just like slot him in there. You could just make the swap over now, because I think the Rumble winner was supposed to face Roman on the Sunday. That's the only part where I'm thinking they could switch it to Edge and Roman, because in order to maintain the integrity of the Rumble, which they haven't done a great job of in the past, but last year when Drew has that big payoff and then he wins the Rumble and he goes on to face the Fiend, goes on to face Lesnar last year, that puts you in a position to make the Royal Rumble important again, because the Royal Rumble was so highly regarded last year, and they did such a good job of it that it was almost like a rebuild for the Rumble. Because remember, we had years of Rollins winning it and Orton winning it and Nakamura mm-hmm. winning in it and then going in the middle of the Mania card. But Rollins even opened.
How about the two glaring fuck-ups they had for the Rumble? One being Ricochet being in it, and number two, Jay saying how he was going to win it for Raw to have the belt over there, and he wasn't even in it.
No, because he's obviously got COVID, hasn't he?
You think that's what's up? Jay's got the COVID?
Yeah, well, Jay missed like 2 weeks of... Jay's missed 2 weeks of TV, so... Yeah, he
probably has COVID.
Yeah, so he probably has COVID. Keith Lee obviously has COVID as well, because Mia Yim has it, which I said ages ago, and I reported he would be touch and go for it. No, that's it. No one talks about that though. And also, also who else? Yeah, with Ricochet, like winning the losing the qualifier, and then doing it anyway, and then obviously with the number thing as well. Like it was a case of so. So that flip-flopped as well. So basically...
they said right when Edge came out, did you notice they said, oh, Edge couldn't wait. And he came out, and the problem was for Rumble Pools, because Fausti had number two. And he's like, this is bullshit. He was fucking said to be number two. And now he's number one. I'm like, yeah, you got to wait until their official results, and that's the winner. And he's officially number one, which... I'm like, they posted that he was number two. They just cannot get out of their own way.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. He was supposed to be number two, because they wanted like number two to win.
Mm-hmm.
So then when Brian was winning again, the format sheet said that he was back. They swapped him to number one, because they think wrestling fans are stupid enough that they won't think having a good run from number two is as good as having a run from number one, even though it's the same number, essentially.
Do it from five. I mean, who gives a shit? God.
Remember when Cole said, he was like, number three is the most unlucky number, and Bianca Belair just won the Rumble from number three.
Yeah, that was dumb as well.
Was she number three last night, last time too, last year?
I'm not sure, but what he's talking about is when Sammy got number three, and Michael Cole said Sammy's going to think it's a conspiracy because number one is the most unsuccessful number in Rumble history, even though Flair won from there. And then what else would happen? And Austin saying what happened
number three,
literally an hour before.
Bianca won.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, since we've done the men's Rumble and everything, Drew.
Well, what did you think of the Rumble match? I thought it was nowhere near as good as last year.
I mean, I thought it was fine. We saw the glaring mistakes, but other than that, I got a problem with the that it's number one and stuff like that. I it doesn't do it for me because we've seen it, like you said.
Oh, that's why they weren't supposed to do it.
Yeah,
I can give you all of the reasons and facts why this wasn't supposed to happen, but people just think it's absolutely impossible, and I'm some sort of fraud because Seth Rollins forgot to or failed to hold onto a rope, like. That's not on me. Like I'm just telling you the logical stuff. I mean, most of the people most of these internet community guys, they are losers and they won't understand what I'm saying, even though it's backed up with 100% historical data. But for anybody that gambles and anybody that's gambled on Raw Rumbles before, the favorite has a 100% record of winning. He did not get there by accident, especially if it's a Randy Orton in 2017, especially if it's a Seth Rollins. What fucking business or logic is it to have Rollins as a favorite an hour before the show when he's not even announced? He was 20-1.
Yeah, and that's...
there's no storyline logic in it or anything because he'd only won it as well 2 years before. I mean, I was even reluctant to go along with it once I got that. And the thing is, I'm damn sure, like, not texting you. Like, but the thing is that over the years and years since I've known you and other people, have I not always just fired off the text and said, oh, it's so-and-so, by the way?
Yeah.
Like, did you not get that text from me about Drew last year?
Yeah. And it was, we were asking all that kind of stuff. And it, like what I was saying earlier, where he didn't know for the longest time, and we were trying to get word, and we were also discussing amongst each other if, you know, oh, is he K5ing us? You know, is he doing one of those things and not letting us know? But then, like, you find out later that he had no clue up until, you know.
But that's the thing; it's no different with the women's, though. Like, it's all coming from the same people. It's not like, oh, you know, your woman source is reliable, but your man source is. It's like, no, it's the same. It's the same thing.
I don't know why you do let it bother you. I mean,
it bothers me because it doesn't matter. It doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't matter how often you can be right. Now you'll still get this resistance. Whereas Dave can just say, "Oh, shit changed," and then he can get away with every single thing that he possibly got wrong, which is everything.
Yeah, I just don't think you should let it be as bothersome to you as possible. I mean, I do understand having to explain it, but look who you're explaining things to. You know these people. We know what wrestling fans are. And we're like, we're not one of those, right? That's what we always have to say to people. I'm not one of those. I'm a wrestling fan, but I'm not one of those. Let's go into the other stuff. Drew versus Goldberg. We were a little worried. We thought maybe Goldberg might just pull this off.
No, I wasn't. Well, I knew. No. Austin, if you're going to speak, don't sit across the other side of the room. Okay. It's not a steel cage.
You know what sounds like steel cage is that phone of yours. It's going to drive me crazy because people have told me.
What phone?
It's your phone because you can hear me. I'm reverbing back. That's the problem. So I'm always like, I don't know if you need to have it on a headset because you're hearing my voice shoot out of it or
what?
Oh,
on the show. Oh, maybe it's because I'm doing your phone I put you on loudspeaker.
Yeah, that's guaranteed what it is because you're hearing myself come through. So we'll try to fix that for people, but I've heard that from multiple. They go, I'm going to go fucking crazy listening to them. I'm like, I know. So, and I can't just up and down you every time I'm talking, like mute you and then pop you back on when I'm talking. So, but I didn't mind the Goldberg match.
I didn't think it was great. Did you?
You talking to me or him?
I'm talking to you.
Okay. When you talk to him, just make sure you say his name because I don't know. I did not think it was bad, though.
I've gone. I didn't think it was bad. Uh-huh. But hold on a second. I'm sending you a screenshot with a date on it.
Okay.
Because I'm so like I'm so fucking pissed off.
You're still trying to.
just read what I sent to you, and just read the date out.
Okay. January 26th. Drew is winning the Rumble. Charlotte and Drew. That was January 26th, 2020.
Okay. Read Umar's bits to just to back up my odds theory.
Oh, really? His odds have gone up massively. 10 to 11 now. Roman is second favorite. That fucked up my bets. Imagine Drew wins and then he challenges Adam Cole for the NXT title, LOL. So the odds completely changed then.
Yeah, and everybody's put fuck our bets and all this kind of shit at the end because you guys had all bet Roman because Roman was winning. So
yeah.
So yeah, I just posted that in there. So I gave you at last year at 10-13, I gave them Charlotte and Drew to win when Roman and Shayna Baszler were the betting favorites. And then Charlotte and Drew were the betting favorites. As Umar says in the chat, Drew's just odds have gone up massively because that's what happens when the decision gets made on that second, within that 20, 30 minute period, every bookie gets hit by all of the professional bettors that the WWE writers and staff have betting for them.
You know, what's funny is that you send it on the group text that the other guys will have no fucking clue why the fuck you've sent this.
Yeah.
Well, instead of just to me, yeah.
Well, I didn't think the match was great. I actually had better ideas for the match that I put in the group chat mm-hmm. that I also sent out to Drew, and they used like bits of it, but it wasn't structured in the same way because, and I knew that would be the case because Drew said like, oh, you know, I don't want to take that, or I don't think we'll be able to do this, or whatever when we were chatting about it. But I didn't think he'd be that limited, like. I thought Goldberg was
in great shape, and I thought he could.
He was, but did you not think he was puffing on the way to the ring?
I mean, yeah, he wasn't in that ring shape to be running around. That's for sure. And he was like,
isn't it crazy though? Dying. Like, isn't it crazy? Like how you get your body like that, but you can't breathe. Because I'm always thinking like, oh, you know, like I'd love to look like that, and you know, mm-hmm. and but then the first thing, what do you do like when you want to get in shape at the gym? Like, don't we, like the normal people, don't we start running or like going on like doing cardio
But they say it's not regular jogging cardio. It's in ring shape, which is a complete different thing because it's a lot of up, down, drop, fall down, get back up. So I think it's
So you think Goldberg? So you think Goldberg's jogging and rowing and,
I think
and
doing
the exercise bike and stuff?
I think so. I think he's doing all the gym stuff and it's not... let me get in the ring and run the ropes. I don't think that at all.
I think that shit's overrated. I don't think that running the ropes is more difficult to run it to riding a bike or anything. Like,
well,
I think if you've got wind, you've got wind.
Well, I don't think it's running ropes. I think it's the up, down, get up, stand up, roll around, get up, down. It's that, I think. I think it's a matter of the quick movements more than steady just running.
Austin, mm-hmm. what do you think of the match?
It was just good. I liked it. Yeah.
You liked it?
See, you think it was good? I thought it was very passable.
Goldberg, you think it was good as Goldberg and Lesnar?
No.
No.
But it was just a pretty basic. It was just exactly what I expected.
Right. What with what? The finishes and everything.
Yeah.
Well, this is the same match you said on the last show.
More importantly, Austin, what do you think of Carmella on the next match?
Don't be quiet. We can't have dead air. You must speak.
Do you like Carmella?
No.
No.
It's all guys listening to this.
Okay, yes, I do.
Huh?
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do. What do you like about?
He's a good wrestler.
Oh yeah.
Listen, we're not looking at her for her wrestling skills, Austin. It's okay.
I think both of these look so good. I think they should wrestle for longer. I think.
I thought the surgery was showing a lot more in this match.
On what? Face or the boobs?
On the boobs. I don't know if she had anything done to the face.
She had a lot of stuff done to her face.
Like recently?
Just over time.
Over time. But she nearly broke her neck and pulled a Christopher Reeve.
Oh, I didn't pick up on that.
Oh, the dive through the ropes? Haven't seen that?
I haven't seen how she almost hurt herself.
She dove out of the ropes and her arms got caught underneath and she landed on her face. You got to see that. That's all over the place. You might have made, they were like, oh my God. And she got up real quick after that, after she was like, woof. Like, it was one of those scary ones where she could have completely snapped her neck. But we kind of expected this match the way it was, where Carmella loses to Sasha as usual. But I find it weird because getting into the women's rumble, because Bianca wins, I don't really know if we have to talk much about it. But I was happy for her because it seemed very genuine when she won. You know, she was like really, you know, overwhelmed and stuff like that, which I like. But to have Sasha versus Bianca, good guy, that's interesting.
Well, that seems to be the direction that's coming out of all of these rumbles. I think, like, on the other side of it, you need to have, if we're looking at, if it is Drew and Edge, and it is, it is going to be Sasha and Bianca, it can't be anything else. The other two matches that they do have to be very, like, babyface heel orientated. Like, you have to be looking at, it can't just be Charlotte and Oscar fighting as friends.
Could Bayley get the belt back?
I don't think so. I think Sasha's
kind of ruined her a little bit.
I find it difficult. It's very early doors, but I like this side of it. I don't know if you go with Sasha retaining because, you know, she's the female face of SmackDown and she's pulling numbers, or whether you do the whole story with Bianca.
Mm-hmm. I think Bianca will win that match.
You think Bianca will win that match?
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think for a Raw Women's Title match then?
I think it will be Charlotte and Oscar.
Well, what's Alexa Bliss going to do?
Oh, actually, I haven't.
And you still got Lacey over there with Charlotte.
I think it will be Lacey v. Charlotte, maybe.
Or for the title?
Yeah.
What?
No, not for the title, just a match.
Yeah.
I don't know who Oscar's going to face.
I don't think that match can get to Mania.
Did you totally think they were going to do what we said and they screwed it up when Billy Kay was waiting for each person to come to the ring to be a partner with?
How do you think they screwed that up?
Oh, I totally thought, okay, this is where her and Peyton finally get back together.
Oh.
I'm like, how does that not be the one that she gets with?
Well, she's got with Peyton in the ring. I don't know. I think Jillian Hall was fine for it to get. I thought this rumble was more entertaining, like, in terms of the way it was broken up. There was, you know, different aspects of it. Like, you had a beginning, the middle, and the end. Like, whereas this was the beginning bullshit. I thought it was very weird, though, how both Rumbles had people just sitting in there from 1 and 2 or 3 or wherever and just being in there the entire time. I was surprised that they did that, because usually there is a bit where you build it up and someone they're trying to get over eliminates a whole bunch of guys.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have that spot this year. They didn't have it for either Rumble where someone was clogging up eliminations. Yeah. I think someone got like, I think Priest got 5, didn't he, Austin? Or Lashley got 4.
No, Priest got 4. They said it today on the WWE.
Right. And what, Lashley got 3? Well, he get 4 as well.
I think Lashley got 4 as well.
Right.
Really? So nobody tied for the most? Those were the most, 3 and 4?
Yeah.
Well, here's the other thing. I don't know. I didn't bet on it personally, but how did they pay out on the on people getting to the final four? Because Christian and Braun were dumped out at the same time.
Yeah, that's true. There's then 5. Are they going to go by the actual feet touched first? Because they could get that.
I don't know.
They'll probably do that.
They'll probably just go how WWE.com does it. Do you see this picture of Bianca Belair touching the floor and not winning the Rumble?
No, both feet?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see that.
I'm going to try and find it now. I don't know how to find it, though, without running through Twitter.
Send it to me later. Last thing let's talk about with the Rumble before we jump into Raw and fire through is Elizabeth trying to help Roman Reigns with the handcuffs.
Oh, my God.
Wow. I mean, my God, Owens won the match. He should be yelling, stop the steal. This is ridiculous. He could not fix. I was like, oh, he didn't have the handcuffs facing the right way. He can't get his hands in there to get those cuffs off.
So what happened? Do you have a theory of what happened?
I have the real handcuffs are such a little tiny key that goes in that they're facing. It was facing the inside where you can't get your hand into it. Like if it was from the outside, boom, he puts the key in. He couldn't get the key in because it was on the inside.
Right. So Roman, Owens tied him up to it wrong.
Yeah, I think he just snapped on the cuffs the opposite direction. I mean, it's not like it's a egregious mistake, but I think they might have thought of that a little earlier. Like, what's the best way to have this facing?
I'm surprised that they even use real handcuffs. I didn't think they would be using real handcuffs.
Easy enough. I mean, I have the same. I have, like, you know, police handcuffs, and they're hardcore with that little tiny key that you got to get in there. So, all right, you just sent me the picture of Bianca. Let me take a look here. Oh, that's
she's
funny.
Hanging on the floor. Both feet are on the floor.
Oops. So she's out. So who was the last one other than her? Who was in there last?
The person next to her.
Oh, is that her? That was they did that together. Yeah, okay, good. I forget who the hell was in it.
What did you watch? That's the fucking ending.
Not really the end, but that's where they both sat up and said, let's get back in the ring. I forget.
Is that Ripley getting her revenge on Charlotte?
Yeah, probably.
I wouldn't mind them doing Charlotte getting the belt just before Mania from Oscar. They do Oscar and Charlotte before Mania, and then Ripley and Charlotte can do the rematch again, and then they'll just be back where they should have gone last year.
Did you hear Byron say during this, and I laughed out loud, where he goes, last year when Charlotte versus Rhea Ripley, I'll never forget that match as long as I live. I'm like, what? I'm like this was Steamboat Savage. I mean, other than them screaming in a place with nobody there, that's the only thing worth remembering it. I'll never forget as long as I live. And I don't know if I'm a big fan of Alexa Bliss turning into different character, like she's magic. And I mean, soon as the lights start to go, they just threw her out. That's their answer to it. Get her out of here before she transforms into a monster.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I guess it kind of works because you can't do it for matches.
Like, you're not going to do it with her. They should have just not let her in the Rumble.
They could have all just jumped her and threw her out. It's not like she becomes like 10 feet tall or something. She still can't stop people from throwing her.
Yeah, I don't mind the stuff with her. It breaks up Raws because Raws are a show where nothing really happens other than just a bunch of matches. So,
well, here we go with Raw. Drew comes out and blows smoke up the company's ass. What a wonderful, you know, oh my God, the Royal Rumble. And then Edge comes out and he begins to blow Edge as well. Oh, you're my hero. You're my mentor, Edge. And this, I'm like, oh my God. And then Edge says, you know, what's wrong with you? You should have kicked my ass when I walked in the ring, which makes no sense. I mean, if you're going by, you know, he's a good guy. Somebody walks to the ring, he's supposed to beat him up. He doesn't know what they're there for. Sheamus shows up to defend his boyfriend, Drew. And then Edge says, he's going to think about who he wants. And he's going to decide who he's going to have at Mania. Edge leaves. And Sheamus kicks Drew in the face. This is how they turn Sheamus on his friend. They have nothing. This is what they do. Just for no reason. And we find out later it's because people call him his friend. And that's what he's known as. Not as Sheamus. He's known as Drew's friend. That's the explanation.
Well, it works for Derek Montilla. So
Derek Montilla is going to attack Drew.
That's what he wants to be known as. He goes, that's what he wants. People just say, hey, Derek, excuse me.
I'm
Drew McIntyre's friend. He ate pizza that I bought him, and he called me from Raw after What an absolute
asshole.
My name
is Derek Montilla, occasionally known as a big ass piece of shit.
There you go. There's your Derek Montilla.
That music. That music just bugs me because when I hear it, like, it somehow, I remember that I was on there.
But remember, I was a fanboy who was begging to be on all the time. I'm like, where that story came from? I'm like, what?
Like, it was okay. Like, hey, remember, he goes, I have to tell you, but I know you're not going to be interested in doing it, but there's this guy that I did a show with, and he wants to have you on. I goes, is it worth doing? He goes, not really. He's just like a fan of the show, and I did it for him, and he's been trying to get on here for years.
Oh, my God. Meanwhile, I got to dig up that show because I have all the archives where all he does is drool and jerk off over Lana, because that's all we have him do is judge the women's looks. So Mr., you know, he's women's rights and everything. This show is just him objectifying women. So we should play that one of these days, and we'll just do a review of that.
Yeah, have you listened to his new show with the
I've never heard
something
it.
And something
the snack show? No, I've never heard I've never heard a second of it. I can't imagine that they eat things and review them.
I think I listened to about 2 minutes where they were talking about I can't even remember how much work it was to something. I can't remember. They were talking about their kids and something being a lot of work that people don't realize how much work it was. I have no idea. I can't remember. It was boring.
I might actually have to try. Riddle versus Lashley. This is the U.S. title. I don't know why they're bothering with this. It's 2 minutes long, and Bobby's like a fucking maniac, and he just kills Riddle with the fucking what is it? The fucking Hurt Locker or whatever the fuck you call it. Yeah, there you go. And throws him over the railings and everything. And like I was like, okay, is everybody breaking up now? Because all of a sudden MVP's got a heart. And he's like, well, don't kill the man. Riddle's with the doctors afterwards. And he's like, who did I wrestle? What happened? And I said, oh, is this how they're going to make him not stupid anymore? Like he got sense knocked into him?
But that's you know, I didn't even think of that. That's probably a good idea. If they're trying to reset him.
It's the only way
you could do that.
In my independent league, when I was in APW, we had a guy who did a backflip, Donovan Morgan. He did a moonsault off the ropes to the floor, and he landed on his fucking forehead, and he split his head open. And so they flipped him into a retard. They made him fucking goofy. That's what they used for that. So this could be the opposite. They just make him smart. Woods versus the Job Squad. Mustafa, not Mustafa. How do you say his name? Mustafa. That's what they call him now.
Mustafa.
Woods. Ringside is Kofi. And he's ringside, and so is the other guys from the Job Squad. And apparently, Kofi wasn't able to get into the Royal Rumble, not cleared, but he could jump around in this. So that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to go on and on now, isn't it? This is going to be. The what they do until was fast Chambers next, isn't it?
You realize they had Luke Harper on the tights at Rumble? I didn't even realize that.
I don't know why they're milking this. I don't remember them having any kind of real.
Well, in real life, they were friends with him, apparently. I mean, Big E was real good friends, apparently.
Well, I bet so were a lot of people. But,
I mean, he was at the hospital when he died.
Who Big E was?
Yeah.
Who told you this?
His wife. You got to listen
to his wife.
I didn't spoke to his wife. She was on the AEW podcast, and you will lose your mind. I will send this to you. The wife talks about the entire thing. I cannot believe what she says about right before he dies. I'm like, it's the coldest shit. And I'm like, is this insane? Am I crazy or not? You got to have to hear it. I think you'll have.
Oh, just tell me. I can't. Tell me. Give me the gist.
She went home.
I will listen to it.
She went home and told the doctors, "I don't want to hear from you. It's Christmas. I don't want to hear from you. I'll call in and get updates, but don't call me. No matter what, don't call me." And someone called her saying, "He's on the deathbed. We have to do the final thing." And she was pissed off that they called, and she goes, "I'm not going." And I'm like. He's dying. What do you mean you're not going? Because it's Christmas? Who gives a fuck what day it is? He's dying. But she was like, how dare you interrupt Christmas? And that referee chick is one of the fucking hosts of the show. She's horrible. She's absolutely horrible. You'll lose your mind listening to this show, I promise you. It's what AEW referee, something. Referee? She's the girl referee in AEW. She's with Tony Schiavone.
But they actually, like, are you sure you're telling the story correctly?
Yes, I am.
Well, I'm going to have to listen to it.
I'm going to send it to you because it's not a long show. And she goes through the whole entire thing of what happened, like, out of the blue. And it was, oh, yeah, okay, well, now he's going to be in the hospital and he's going to die here. And let's bring everyone in to say goodbye to him. It was wild shit. And Big E was one of them. So, all right. Bad Bunny and Damian
Priest. Big E got invited down to the hospital.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They were good buddies, apparently. Bad Bunny with Damian Priest. They talk Spanish in the back. They talk Mexican, as I like to say. Miz TV with Bad Bunny. Damian Priest shows up. So now it's Miz versus Damian Priest. Poor Miz is back to being a fucking jobber, I guess, because he has money in the bank. So I guess that's the way to do it. We have to subject ourselves to Morrison getting hit by Bad Bunny with a horrible, you know, punch. But he is better than Snoop when it comes to in-ring action.
Yes, except one thing. I don't know who the fuck he is.
Yes, that's true. I'm like, why did they had him come out there? Because he did a song called Booker T. That's the whole reason. I've never heard of him before about, this.
It was about Booker T, though. Well, then Booker T's in the video, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't tell you what he says about him because it's in Spanish. Lucha House
Party.
Yeah,
I worked that out eventually. I thought he was just mumbling shit originally. I can't make out anything he's saying.
We should be able to be rich from rap. If this is what rap is nowadays, we could be able to do this. Can't we?
It's that mumble rap shit. That's what Eminem says. He goes, oh, you shut your mumble rap mouth.
It's true. House Party versus Hurt Business. Shelton tags himself in and they win. So we're getting this slow breakup where this is going to happen eventually. I think that they should have Lashley be the champion anyway. He should just be tearing people apart. But I don't know. This doesn't help. Lana says Shayna and Nia took her out and derailed her quest to win the tag team titles. But now she's back. But this time she's not alone. So she was trying to win the tag team titles by herself last time. What do you mean this time you're not alone?
She wasn't alone last time.
Yeah, she had two other people with her, and now she's not alone. She has Naomi. Who cares? You might as well be alone as much as
she's Does anyone remember, I wish we could pull up the clip, where I said, I think this is what this is. This is where this is going. And you said, oh my God, that's you've got it. That's it. That's what it's going to be. It's terrible. I said, like, this is all. I think I predicted that they were building up towards Naomi saving her, and they were going to formulate a dance tag team.
That you was remember? It. Yes, I do. Because you said and they you took said, our idea, and I'm like, I didn't know what the hell you were talking about. And I'm like, I don't remember. But now, yeah, the dance part. Oh my God.
You don't remember?
I do. As soon as you say it now, yeah, I totally remember it.
Well, I said it as a joke, and you said, oh my God, they're going to do it. They will.
Oh my God. I can't wait. But now they got to start dancing together. They really have to get the same outfit and start
they
dancing.
Did they start dancing? They did a double. They did a dance routine and then a double slide down to the ring.
Yeah.
On their knees.
Oh, I got to rewind. When I see, because half the time I turn my head when shit's going on.
They did exactly as I described it. And you said, oh my God, they're going to do it. And then they did it. Everything except Naomi saving her from Nia, which was the only fucking part that actually made any sense, where someone saves her, which no one did. And then that's how you formulate the tag team. It's the next part that was awful. And that's the part, the only part they did do, where they are dancing in their doing their dance routines. Cause you know how she thinks
that
she's a dancer and she's just talentless.
Oh, this is so good. She's like a little good at a lot of things and not great at anything. Oh, my God, it's great. So triple threat tag team match, and it's Charlotte and Asuka versus Mandy and Dana versus Lana and Naomi. This is the stupidest ending because they hit Flair and Asuka hit their finisher, and it's over, and Flair's music hits. And Charlotte gets up discouraged and kicking rocks, all upset, and tags out and pouts and leaves, where she could have just laid on top of her opponent and won.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and so then they come walking out, and of course, rear view, and Lana and Naomi win this match. Elias and Gunner versus Hardy and Carlito on the gas. Carlito, all swole and blown up. They saved him for...
I didn't think he was bigger. I thought he was just leaner.
Oh, then from when he was first in WWE? No. He's way
he wasn't
bigger.
No, he's not bigger.
Oh, 100%.
He's leaner. He's more cut, but he's not bigger.
Oh, I'm telling you, you got to get a side-by-side. He was skinny. He was not shoulders and arms even... He wasn't even close to the size he was now.
No, I think he was. I remember when he debuted, he was about as wide as Cena when they stood face to face.
Oh, you're high. You're out of your mind. We got to look that up. I was waiting for Carlito to turn on Jeff, actually, to tell you the truth. The whole time.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said that to him.
What'd you say?
What'd I say?
He thought Jeff was gonna turn. Carlito was gonna turn on Jeff.
Oh,
yeah, because he was a bad guy before.
Yeah,
he's a better bad guy.
This Elias and Gunner thing is, I don't know. This is an issue.
Everything Elias does. It's fucking boring. It just bores me to death.
I think it's their fault, not his.
No, he's like go away. It's like the go away version. It's like the turn
Xbox.
Over the TV. Yeah, he has become the new. It's like it is honestly like change your channel for 10 minutes and watch something else. Like Elias is going to be out here for a bit.
And then you get Bliss versus Cross, and like I said, Bliss is magical now. And turns into different things because we need to have her have outfit changes.
I don't know how they do that.
Yeah, it's interesting because they got to do this before the show starts so they can edit things. And then,
he didn't know that.
Oh, there's your magic for you. They do it pre-taped, and then just slide it on in. And then we get Orton versus Edge. And then Santa Claus comes to the ring. Orton versus Edge, and Bliss shows up and drools. Now I'll ruin that for you too. She has something in her mouth and she just lets it roll out. That's all. She's not really bleeding from her mouth. So, that's that. And then so Edge wins because Orton's so distracted. By the way, too, did you notice Orton is fully healed from having third-degree burns? Even at the Royal Rumble, he was already healed.
Yeah, I know a story about that as well. So he didn't want to like have these burns on his face. So he reached out to find the best possible doctors. And he was giving... And the guy that got in contact with him that fixed his third-degree burns was the same doctor that cured Magic Johnson's AIDS.
Oh! Jesus, like, man. Can that guy get rid of COVID too? Shit.
Oh, yeah. That's
Magic Johnson.
Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
Basketball. Famous basketball player.
He's got AIDS, but has lived.
Well, no, he doesn't.
Yeah. Oh, he... Yeah.
It's Magic Johnson. He got rid of it.
He doesn't know what AIDS is. He's 10.
I was going to say, do you know what AIDS is? It's a bad, bad cold.
He's saying yes.
I think I do know what AIDS is.
What?
It's just a disease that you can get. It just makes you really sick.
Yeah, that's close. And where'd you get that from, South Park? Huh? Yeah.
AIDS gets you so sick that you die.
Carmen gave Kyle AIDS.
Cartman gave Kyle AIDS. Yeah.
Oh. How about the AIDS weight loss commercial? Have you heard that before?
No.
Have you heard that, Billy?
No.
Really? Let me see. Now I have to go to YouTube to get this to play for you. Oh, my God. How could you have not heard the AIDS commercial? See if I wasn't on the other phone with you. I'm trying to find an iPad I could get to. I have 10 iPads, so hold on. Let me see if one of these is on. Okay. There was back in the 80s, before AIDS happened, there was a weight loss pill called AIDS. So,
oh, really?
Yes. And they went out of business very shortly afterwards. But the commercial's funny as hell. Because if you think about it the way AIDS is now and listen to the commercial, it kind of matches a little bit.
Wait, so like this company obviously existed before the 80s and originally the weight loss pill. Because AIDS only hit like in the mid 80s.
Here we go. Let me see.
I don't think it kills people now.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently you could have, you just take pills a lot and you'd be okay. All right, here, let me see if you could listen to this.
Why are you still looking at pictures of Carlia?
So I'm trying to find an old one.
I've tried fad diets, powders, pills. Still, my weight's been up and down like a yo-yo until the AIDS plan taught me how to take off weight and help keep it off.
AIDS may taste like a candy, but AIDS contains one of the most effective appetite suppressants you can buy, and there's no stimulant in AIDS that could make you nervous.
With AIDS, I ate less, so the weight came off. To help keep it off, when I sometimes want things loaded with calories, AIDS helps put me in control.
Let the AIDS plan teach you how to take off weight and help keep it off. Try peanut butter AIDS.
There you go.
So I've sent you pictures showing you that Carlito is just more ripped and not actually any bigger at all.
Oh, you're crazy.
Well, the pictures.
Look at the difference. Stop that.
Ripped. It means that you got more muscle. It doesn't mean you're wider. He was always big.
Wider is more muscle. That one where he's crushing an apple is a terrible one to try to even, because that he doesn't look close to as big as what he is now.
So he started to lose muscle and become less. He was becoming skinnier as he's like towards the end of his run when he was in the tag team and stuff. You could tell that he wasn't working out.
Yeah, he couldn't care.
And didn't care. But like when he came in 2005 or 2004, he was pretty. He was pretty big and wide, and in good shape.
Well, that is it for our review. We have done it. We have gotten there. I was nervous since I got to go do my show what time we would get out. So that's it. Billy, where can we find all your nonsense?
TheDirtySheets.com for all the latest news, etc. And you can get betting packages in there for sports, UFC, wrestling, and boxing. I'm really distracted. And then you have my Twitter account, DirtySheets.com, and my gambling Twitter account at SGP Soccer. And then my lockbetting.com is where you can get all of my betting packages. We're winning every night in NBA now, easily. 12 and 13 in tennis, had 6 or 7 straight days in soccer, made money at the Royal Rumble, was only wrong about one thing. And that was changing Daniel Bryan to Seth Rollins. So we wouldn't have won anyway because Edge wasn't in any discussions that I had apart from when Austin picked him. But yeah, everything else we won on. So we made money on the Royal Rumble. People can focus on the negatives, which they will. This community and these fan base are the worst. They're toxic. They don't have any money. They don't have any lives. They don't have any income. They don't have any relevance. I don't understand why Fox and Peacock are investing in this fan base. It makes no sense to me. They could never, there's no way that they have interacted with this fan base or fucking smelt this fan base.
They don't know any better. That's all there is to it.
Just go, like, before you invest, just go and walk into a steel cage. WrestleMania shared hotel room and chat with them for a few minutes as well and see if you still want to put your money into WWE.
And where can we find all of your stuff, Austin?
Go to my Instagram channel, Austin's Toys.
Okay. I'm Kev Manning. He's Billy Body. That's Austin Body. We'll see you next time.
My name is Derek Montilla, occasionally known as a big ass piece of shit.